Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, August the 12th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. We spent a lot of the program looking at the primary results from the previous night, which included an easy win for Governor Ned Lamont and an upset win for former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin. ABC News campaign reporter Gabby Vinnick dropped by to chat about some of the other big national primaries, while Hearst Connecticut Media's Dan Haar offered his thoughts on some of Tuesday's final numbers. He also talked about the death of former Connecticut Lieutenant Governor Nancy Wyman. So when you come right down to it, after primary day and primary night yesterday and last night right here in the great, wonderful, sovereign state of Connecticut, not a whole lot of surprising stuff when you think about it. And I know the basic idea here is to term John Larson's loss some sort of a catastrophic loss here, or term it as exciting. What did I tell you folks 3 or 4 months ago? What did I tell you? And again, I'm not starting with a pat on the back here, but let me hold on. There it is. I pat myself on the back. You can see it on the video, by the way. Hi to all our friends who watch us daily on platforms like YouTube and Twitch. But look, nothing against John Larson. The guy's 78 years old. And after a while, you get old enough to where even your supporters say, you know what, we appreciate it, but enough. It's like some of these bands and solo singers that, you know, just stay too long. And they do it because people will buy the tickets, and it's a nice night out. But in the case of Luke Bronin, folks, what did I tell you? As soon as Luke Bronin got into this race against John Larson, and eventually Jillian Gilchrist got in and Ruth Fortune got in. But what did I tell you? I said it's over. Larson's done. And I know I had a lot of people, a lot of pundits, too, and some other folks saying, well, hey, you know, Larson's got that labor. No. The labor vote. Oh, I was explaining to somebody else today, you know what? Not only do the politicians get older, the major backers of those people, they get old, too. Their influence wanes. After a while, all the big labor, all the big union honchos, they don't give a crap anymore either. And look, for all the stuff that was thrown at Luke Bronin about, well, these major guys that support him are young hedge fund guys. John Larson is the guy, the blue collar guy. And what happened in the end? Larson got smacked by Bronin, 54-32. Folks, the Democratic Party is in the middle of a change, which is good, which is good. There are still some stalwart centrists or people that kind of tack to the left a little bit, or maybe a little conservative on monetary issues like Ned Lamont is, but progressive, uber progressive on issues like immigration and abortion and guns. I get it. But was last night really a surprise in any way, shape, or form? I thought that, and by the way, the numbers being given out right now, if you round up and round down, Ned Lamont beat Josh Elliott 68-32. I thought it would be 65-35. Now, can I run around and claim a victory? And then, well, not really. I thought Ned Lamont would be somewhere in the 60s, and Josh Elliott would be somewhere in the 30s, and that's what it is. So you take this now, and you look at it. If you're a Democrat, you could say, well, yeah, in Connecticut, roughly, if you round up and round down, you can roughly say, roughly, that about two-thirds of Connecticut Democratic voters, as they were looked at yesterday, basically give them a chance between the, or give them a choice, I should say, between a quote-unquote, whatever normally a quote is, a quote, whatever a normal Democratic Party is these days, you know, it, given that choice, about 2 out of every 3 Democrats in Connecticut still we'll go with the, I don't know how you term this, the establishment. And one third, about one out of three, or 32 or 33%, end up going with, you know, something new. Something new, something old, something borrowed, something blue, as the old song used to say. But it turned out to be a landslide for Ned Lamond last night. 68 to 32. Does that surprise you? It doesn't really surprise me, but I thought Josh Elliott would tickle somewhere in the upper 30s to around 40%. So what does that say? You know, maybe Connecticut is as blue of a state as it is, especially when you get away from the big cities, you get rid of, get away from Bridgeport and Stamford, Norwalk and New Haven and Hartford and all that. When you get out to the suburbs, you know, there still is a little swath here and there of red. But last night and yesterday, when you come right down to it, it's, you know, pretty much what we thought, don't you think? What are your thoughts on primary day 2026? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Ned Lamond grabbing essentially two out of every three votes from registered Democrats, voters who turned out to vote yesterday. And the people in the first district, which is basically Greater Hartford, the first district, a longtime seat held by John Larson, big support from big labor. One of his clarion calls as far as his pet projects and pet issues has, of course, been Social Security and all that, new worries about that. But Luke Bronin came in, and his campaign message was basically kudos to Congressman Larson, and but we need change, and we need something new. So Bronin wins that 54 to 32%. And you remember, there were a lot of people, both on this show and other shows, who kept saying, and I heard this from the pundits all over the state, were saying, well, you know, it's going to be tough to get 50-plus percent in a race with four people in it. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Because you know what? People have finally, and to the good senses of many Democrats out there, they're starting to see the age thing. They are. Now, what comes after that? I don't know. You tell me. So we have two, count them two, because I was feeling frisky today after primaries yesterday. There are two questions of the day right here at Facebook.com, WICC, Facebook.com page, Voice of CT. Number one, just what are your general thoughts here? Starting to get a reaction to that. Governor Ned Lamond defeats Josh Elliott. Former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin beats Congressman John Larson. What are your thoughts there? And another thought that I had before we came on here. What will the nationally and here in Connecticut, now that the change has sort of begun here, what does the Democratic Party look like in the years to come? Now, we've all seen what has happened to the Republican Party, a new aggressiveness, the MAGA aggressiveness, but a lot of the players are the same thing and a lot of the issues are the same. But what happens now to the Democratic Party? Which wing of the Democratic Party rules over what wing? The progressives or the pragmatic centrists? If you didn't catch it last night, I'm going to replay Governor Ned Lamont's acceptance speech pertaining to his primary win yesterday and last night. We'll use some audio courtesy of our friends at NBC Connecticut. So we will do that. I'll do that coming right out of the news where Chris takes us from ABC in about 8 minutes or so. So it wasn't too long. It's about 4.5, 5 minutes, but you'll get the tenor of what Governor Ned Lamond said. And when it comes right down to it, he romped. He cruised. You know, I thought Josh Elliott would do a little better. Did you think he would do better? Because that was one of the issues that I was banding around with some of our guests you've heard me over the past couple of weeks or months wonder, in wake of what happened with Zohran Mamdani in New York City, in the wake of what's happening with, you know, other progressives last night, although Francesca Hong got beat, she lost in Wisconsin for the gubernatorial nomination there, although it's only about a half point. So everybody's saying, see, there you go. Boy, that progressive who doesn't like Thanksgiving, she got beat. You rarely eke that one out. I mean, barely. It's a multi-person race there. She got 39 point something, and the guy that beat her got 39 point something, almost near 40. So there's still a lot of progressives out there. But did you think that Josh Elliott would do better? I thought he would do better. I didn't think he'd win. I didn't think he'd get much above the upper 30s. I thought a 40% showing would be something he could really hang his hat on. Now, is this the last we see of him? Because, again, remember, he is running for re-election to his state rep seat out of Hamden there. So we'll see if there's any blowback, if he's going to lose that. I don't know. I don't know. But I thought he would get a little more. Now, he didn't do awful. He got 33%. And again, his percentage probably would have been better if he was running against, you know, Ned Lamont, first-time candidate here. But the governor, he's going to have 8 years under his belt, and he'll go for four more. So all this stuff we heard from a lot of the pundits, but, you know, the fact that this is unprecedented, and it was, you know, a third term is kind of the holy grail of being able to attain it and then actually get something done. So we'll see how that shakes out, if, in fact, the governor can hold off Ryan Fazio, which will be interesting. But again, if you look at the betting markets this morning, again, Poly Market and Kalshi and all these kind of odds markets that you can now bet Connecticut politics on are, you know, anticipating around a 15-point win for Ned Lamont coming up in a few months on Election Day, November, whatever it is, first Tuesday after the first Monday. Forgive me, I don't have my calendar in front of me. So I guess you would be looking at something like, you know, the governor winning, you know, 58-42, something like that. And that sounds kind of right, because generally the ceiling for the Republicans in this state, even in a good year, is the low to mid-40s. It's the makeup of the electorate here. There's not a heck of a lot you can do. Again, I'll say it all the time, if the Republicans want to gain steam in this state, and if there are some people who are saying, hey, I don't love the Republicans, but the Democrats got to be slowed down, you do that in the General Assembly. You nibble away here, you scrape away there, and you say, okay, is there a seat or two or three in the state Senate that the GOP can pick off? Are there handfuls of seats in the state House that they could pick off? But what do I tell you all the time? The key to getting more power in the state, if you're in the minority party, is the state Senate. The last time the GOP really had any influence, which wasn't all that long ago, right around the mid-teens, 2015, 2016, 2017, it was because of their strength in the state Senate. And judging by the governor's margin last night, it looks like that's the way the GOP is going to have to do it again. But what are your thoughts coming off of last night? And if you're a Democrat, who'd you vote for? Are you happy? Are you a Ned Lamont guy or gal? Did you have any buttons on your lapels or blouses that said, I'm with Ned? Or were you on the more progressive side of things? Maybe you respect Governor Lamont, but you don't like his tax policy, so you may have gone with Josh Elliott. What are your thoughts on that? Talk or text 203-333-9422, 333-WICC in a midweek Wednesday. Some national primaries, too, to talk about. One in particular, everybody was watching in the state of Wisconsin to talk about that and more. We welcome ABC News campaign reporter Gabby Vinnick to the show. Gabby, it's Paul here. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
That race in Wisconsin for the Democratic nominee for governor there, featuring Francesca Hong and a gentleman who was more to the center of the party. Man, that was razor close. Gabby, are the progressives pumping out their chests a little bit, or is the main line of the party, you know, saying phew, or is it a case of both here?
I think we're going to see how it will play out. I think it may be a case of both. It's interesting because two of the biggest names in the progressive movement, or the Democratic Socialist movement, I should say more specifically, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did not endorse State Representative Francesca Hong in this case. And that's sort of a reflection of how Wisconsin is a battleground state. It's a very difficult state for, a Democratic Socialist, if you will, to perform well, given it's home to some of the closest elections.
Yeah, and the cities, the university areas, the urban areas tend to be very blue, but having worked with some people from Wisconsin in this business, they've told me that kind of, Gabby, once you get out of the cities, it is tricky politically to navigate, isn't it?
Well, so I did speak with some Democrats who shared that view and said that there are, conservative swaths of the electorate that had to be, really taken into consideration, independent voters outside of Dane County and Milwaukee County. Francesca Hong represented in the state assembly, Deep Blue, Madison, Wisconsin, the capital. And David Crowley, who is the Milwaukee County executive, he had to run up his margins in his respective home county. Some Democrats had expressed concerns about Hong's ability as a Democratic Socialist to perform well and to win statewide if she were to become the Democratic nominee for governor.
Yeah. Gabby Vinnick, ABC News. Gabby, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Take care, and I'm sure we'll be talking down the road. Thank you, Gabby. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Yeah. All right. This gentleman joins us once a week to let us know what is on his mind as he covers the biggest stories all over the place. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist. And Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Good afternoon. The day after.
Yeah. Before we get to that, let's talk a little about, because I know you obviously have covered her for years, or she just left us, Nancy Wyman, the former lieutenant governor, former multi-term treasurer, state lawmaker, passing away. The announcement was made today. We're not sure exactly when she passed away. She was 80. Dan, her lasting impact on Connecticut politics.
Well, there are two things. First, everybody today is saying that everybody loved her and nobody had a bad word to say about her. We wrote that about her when she was in the middle of the battle. So this is not one of these, nice obituary things. This is the real deal. This woman seems to have had no enemies. Now, I'm not in the room everywhere, certainly during the Malloy administration when she was the lieutenant governor for all 8 years. After being controller for more than a decade, comptroller.
Yeah.
I wrote a letter, an open letter to her to not run for governor because she was not likely to win and it would tarnish her reputation.
Really?
And the first line of the letter was, "We all love you. Your fellow Democrats love you. Even a lot of Republicans love you, though you'd never see that on the campaign trail for governor in 2018. That was when she was in the throes of deciding whether to run and did not run. So that's the first thing, is that she really, truly was beloved because she cared about, in a genuine way, she wanted to tell stories and listen to other people's stories and listen to what problems people have and help solve them. And then the second thing is that word listen, is that she was exceptionally good at listening to people instead of making it be about her.
Yeah, that is, believe me, you and I know that over the years. We've heard that, and those are the successful people, in our business and in politics as well. Now let's shift to the political end of it. Tuesday, before we get to the Luke Bronin victory, which I knew was going to happen for months, the Ned Lamont and Josh Elliott race, Is it about what you expected? You know, the plurality was about 2-1. I was surprised Mr. Elliott's support, Dan, was not a little bit higher. Am I wrong here, or did it come out the way you thought?
My official prediction was 62-38. And what was it, 66 or 7 to 31 or 2?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that, 32 or 3. But so it's in the ballpark, but what I've never seen before, not never, but it's rare that you see this wide a set of predictions.
Mm.
The polls, including the poll we had, showed 22%, which we knew was off for a variety of technical reasons. Impact CT poll had him at a little higher, high 20s or maybe early low 30s. But a lot of insiders, until the governor started fighting back last 2 weeks, thought he was going to get in the 40s.
Wow.
And of course, the target, if you're an insurgent and you're trying to either make a point or build a name, or maybe if lightning strikes, win, 40% is where that's sort of the target, right? That's, you know, if you're in the 40s, you're in the 40s, right? Whether you're 49.8 or 41, you're in the 40s. So he didn't get there, but he believes that he made his points and that he most importantly moved the conversation.
I was going to say, before we get to the Bronin thing, so on the Ned Lamont, Josh Elliott thing, does Josh Elliott have a future here? Or is the message he sent Dan Haar, you think that gets picked up by somebody else in 4 years?
Great question. He may not. He has talked frankly and bluntly a lot on the campaign trail about how he's not Mamdani and he's not AOC and he's not Bernie and he's not, you know, this new guy, El Sayed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have, in his view, this isn't my assessment. He's saying, I'm not as interesting and charismatic as they are. And while that's nice and disarming to have a politician speak bluntly about his own shortcomings, maybe somebody who does have those characteristics would be good to represent the progressive wing of the party. But on the other hand, he's going to be 4 more years of grounded. And the one most important thing I want to say about his future is that he yesterday told me and a couple of people when we were together at a Hartford polling place that he's going to go back into the House and hold no grudges against the people who didn't support him. And we all knew he was talking about Tony Walker and who attacked him. And he's going to work with them like he always did. And he considers them his friends and his allies. And politics is politics. And personality is personality. And another person who kept the two separate all the time was Nancy Wyman.
Yeah, smart move there. Dan Haar, Hearst, Connecticut Media. All right, Luke Bronin wins. I thought he would win. I always thought he would. The margin, though, Dan Haar, 20-something points. You surprised, or is this just a confluence of a bunch of stuff here?
Oh, I feel like an idiot. I called Larson by one. I really thought that the two lesser fundraising candidates, Jillian Gilchrist and Ruth Fortune, would do a lot better, especially in Hartford and West Hartford, where Bronin, did you see the margin of 2,000 in West Hartford alone?
Yeah, I saw that.
Bronin, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So, but the answer is this. Bronin had to be both an insider and an insurgent, not an outsider. But he is an entrenched, moneyed politician, and he didn't deny that. And at the same time, he acted the role of insurgent in respect to energy and ideas. And that's to his credit, and that's what people picked up on. Connecticut is not Brooklyn, and it's not Dearborn, and we don't easily go for extreme insurgents on either side, as you obviously know, you're in the business.
Yeah.
And so he didn't play that card, but yet he played the, we need to build a movement. That was his word. We need to build a movement.
Yeah.
And that became a byword for, we're going to go out and talk to people and hear what they have to say. John Larson remained relatively isolated in a relatively ivory tower of press conferences and speeches and appearances of the official note. And that worked for him in the past, and it may work in some campaigns, but it didn't resonate as much. And top of the pick, top of the ballot with Lamont matter a little bit, you know, row D versus row A with Lamont. Had Lamont not had a primary and it was just this one primary, maybe in some districts, a separate state Senate, for example, the McCrory one, then the advantage to Bronin wouldn't have been as great as being next to Ned Lamont. Negative campaigning by Lawson didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting thoughts, too, on the ballot position. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist, our weekly check-in. Dan, excellent analysis. Thank you. Have a happy weekend. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
When do we get the doldrums of summer?
Yes, yes, the doldrums. Yeah, not a fancy word, Dan. You always throw the fancy words at me. And for that, I am extremely grateful. Thank you so much.
Same low price.
All right. Thanks, Dan Haar. Expensive words, though same old price right here at WICC.